Thank you so much for the session and Pastor Danny and you guys for allowing me to come here that we might learn from the Word of God. Pastor Danny told me to give a little introduction, so it's not going to be so little, but it's not going to be that long either. So with that being said, let us start. From Genesis 12, 1 and 3, especially verse 3, God's plan of redemption has always been about all nations, about all families. As a matter of fact, he tells Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he says the same thing to Israel in Isaiah 49, 6. We see that the servant of the Lord will not only gather Israel, but is to be a light unto the nations. He said that the God's salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. In the Gospels, we see it enforced in the Great Commission. And mind you, it is the Great Commission. But also in 1 Peter 2, 9, we see it again. We see it as a purpose of what God has chosen us for. He says he has chosen us for a purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, for one thing, we are to be a royal priesthood. We are to intercede for all people, for people in our household, for people saved, but also for people who are lost. We are to be a holy nation, set apart to serve him, to do his bidding. But not only that, we are to be his own possession. We don't belong to ourselves anymore, but to him who purchased you, who purchased me, at the unimaginable price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what reason? But there's only one reason in this earth for me to exist. And that is that I might proclaim the excellencies of him who called me from darkness unto his marvelous light. This is the reason why we exist, that we might tell other people his mercy, his love, his power, his sovereignty. Why? Because eventually, in Revelation 7, we see a long-awaited vision that should start today, where a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, from all languages, will worship, crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Yes, to the Lamb who now sits victoriously at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as we intercede for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to bless you. I want to praise you, my Lord, my King, my Redeemer, Lord. I thank you so much for allowing me to come here and speak on your behalf, Lord, that I might praise you, that I might thank you for the things that you have done in my life, that I might exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for showing me love even when I was an enemy of the cross, of your Son, of you, Lord. I ask you to please with all of my heart, with all of my soul, that you bless these people here, Lord, that you open their hearts and their minds, that they might understand their need for Jesus Christ, Lord. And as they go forth this week, that they might tell their co-workers, their family members, and all people in their neighborhoods, Lord, about Jesus Christ, whom you have set as King. I thank you so much, Lord, for this moment, for this hour, and I hope, I pray that it's a delight to you, Lord. Please bless your word. Please bless your gospel. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of the focus points in Scripture. If we miss this, we have missed most of the gospel, if not all of the gospel. The purpose is, why are we here on earth? We are here to give witness to the Lord and his kingdom for what he has done for us, what he is doing in us, and what he will do for us in the future. To better understand this, let us look at the text in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. He says, you see, everything that God does, he does for a purpose and a reason. But a lot of times, most of the times actually, he doesn't let us see this purpose or this reason until we step out in faith. Until we actually go and do what he wants us to do. Until we start trusting him in his faith. Until we start understanding that his way is better than my way. that his way will bring him glory and honor. But at the same time, as I trust him, I will be encouraged. You will be encouraged. Your faith will be grown. Your faith will be strengthened. You see, everything that he does is not only to bring himself glory, but to help you grow in Christ, grow in your faith. And so we're told in verse 16 that Jesus had directed his disciples to meet him in a mountain in Galilee. But we say, why Galilee? I mean, you know, when then, why up a mountain? I mean, it's not like today. You know, when I take a trip, I just came from Atlanta yesterday, and it was only an hour drive. This is like 500 miles. I mean, Jesus Christ had been seen in Jerusalem 8 days prior to this, after the resurrection in John 20:26. And if we think this was a little thing to do, the journey from Jerusalem to Galilee was about a week, maybe a week and a half walking, because they didn't have no cars back then. They didn't have no airplanes. It was about 100 miles. That's a long walk. But why such a long walk and then up a mountain? I mean, if it would have been me, I would have said, Jesus, let's meet at the Jerusalem Inn. They got some good bagels there. I mean, we would try to make it as comfortable as possible. I got my kids and they got to walk with me, but Jesus said, no, you need to walk. You need to walk because you see, when you come to the place where I'm going to meet with you, that you will see my greatness, my power, the resurrection power. Before we get to this, though, some history. Jesus began his ministry as he would end in Galilee of the Gentiles. So he had a purpose for telling them to come to Galilee. In Matthew 4:12, he quotes Isaiah 9:1-2, speaking of Galilee of the Gentiles, focusing on bringing light unto the world. He will bid his disciples and us here to do the same thing. And just like he began his ministry in Galilee, he also ends it in Galilee, on a mountaintop. And the reason being is because from a mountaintop in Galilee, you will see the nations, the Gentile nations, were all in the Valley of Galilee. Jerusalem was left behind, 100 miles back there. You know, the old ministry to the house of Israel. You see, when Jesus Christ came, a lady came up to him to help her, and Jesus told her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he was changing. He was actually displaying that the plan that he had come for was being manifested to the disciples. Having completed that mission, he was now sending his disciples to a new mission. You see, just like he left heaven and the throne of heaven to come here to minister to the house of Israel, now he's sending his disciples to minister to the Gentiles. And if we think that was a little thing to do, I can imagine Jesus Christ being sat on the throne of God in Isaiah 6 with all the angels, the seraphim, are going around him, praising him and saying, holy, holy is the Lord. Yes, he was there. And yet leaving all of that to come down here and be a servant, to proclaim the good news of the Father. And so now he sends his disciples and he sends you. He sends you. And he's sending them to a place where they probably don't want to go. As we have read scripture before in our studies and everything, you know, Jews didn't really want anything to do with Gentiles, let alone with Judeans or Samaritans. They really didn't want to eat with them and talk with them, anything but to be around them. They didn't even want to be around the Romans. They called them dogs. But Jesus said, no, I need you to go, just like I came here to you. I bid you to go now and be with them. You see, that's not our nature. We like to be in the most comfortable place as possible. We make everything about us. We only want to be around people that we feel comfortable with, but that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to stretch our faith. Jesus had other plans for us. You see, whenever we allow Jesus, whenever we obey Jesus, whenever we see him for who he is, the triune God, the second person of the Trinity, we understand that whatever he says, it is not only righteous, but it is going to be good for me also. Even if he doesn't feel good at the time. Even if I don't see the goodness in it, it is going to be good. You see, he wants to stretch my faith. He wants to encourage my faith. He wants me to see the power of the resurrection as I go out and talk to people about him. And to glorify the risen Savior by giving witness to him who called me from darkness into light. That's why we come over here every Sunday. To give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that people may go out into the world and tell other people who Jesus is. He wants us to open our minds to the plans of the kingdom, an all-inclusive kingdom, where all are invited to worship the Lamb. In verse 17, he tells us, and he wants to show them also, but first he needs to show them a side of him not yet grasped by them, and maybe not yet fully grasped by us. And like them, unless we are faithful to follow his orders, we might just miss it. You see, I hear about a lot of people who talk about my faith is not that strong. And maybe it's not that strong because we don't want to step out in faith. We don't want to follow Christ. Because we really don't believe that he's going to go with us, but he tells us that he's going to be with us. He wants our faith to grow. And he wanted them to see. See, if they hadn't walked all the way to Galilee and up that mountain, they would have never seen him in his power, in his resurrection. He wanted them to see that it wasn't just a one thing or two time thing that when he appeared to them in Jerusalem, but this was his glory from now on. That Jesus had power over death. And when we see that Jesus, when they saw that Jesus, all their confusion disappeared and their shattered dreams were just restored. Their sorrow turned into unbelievable joy and their disillusionment into unwavering hope. And of course, what happens when this comes about? They worship. Just like we worship, when we understand who he is and how he is. And where he's at, and the power that he has displayed in our lives, we worship. This is why we come on Sundays, because we know who he is. And this is why he wanted them to see him resurrected and in glory. Not only he wanted them to see him that way, but he also wanted to tell them that he had the power over death. And yes, some doubted. And yes, some doubted. Like some of us will doubt. Some of us will doubt here. Some of us will doubt in our families. Some of our friends will doubt. There's a lot of people who doubt out there. But see, this is why we're here. We are here so that when these people doubt, when they don't know what to do, when they don't know what to say, we are to walk with them. We are to talk with them. We are to encourage them. And we are to show them the way to Christ. The next thing for them to understand and for us to understand is that now he was telling them that he has authority over all things. They had seen his power over nature. They had seen his power over demons. They had seen his power over sickness. But now, in verse 18, he tells them, before he states the Great Commission, he establishes his divine authority to command it. You see, now he's saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That means angels. That means kingdoms. That means everything. All creatures are under him, under his will. And it is because of his sovereign power that his followers are to confidently go, but humbly go out and do his will. You see, every time I go, I have to remember that all authority has been given to him. Therefore, I have no fear. Whatever awaits me out there, I know that he is in control of all things. And hence, I can freely speak. I can freely tell them about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They needed to know that Christ has the authority now over men's minds, over their hearts, over their souls, over any situation in all circumstances. Not only over their lives, but also over the lives of their children, over the lives of their spouses, over all created things. And see, this is why we go out there, because those people out there have no hope. They have no hope. They don't understand why certain things happen and certain things don't happen. They don't know that Christ is sovereign over all things. And this is why we need to go out there to give them that hope. To let them know that there is a ruler on heaven to whom we must give an account. Not only that, you see, as I understand these things, as I understand that he's sovereign, as I understand that he bids me to go, he bids you to go, and he's bidding them to go. He's also letting them know, like he had been telling them for 3 years, rejections will come. But you see, when you understand that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting his free gift of salvation, then instead of feeling angry, you might feel sorry for them, and you might even pray harder for them. And as we go, if we're not embraced, if we're not embraced by these people that we're talking to, we are to remember that maybe we're just planting a seed. That maybe we're just there to give them a word of encouragement. And we might not even see the fruit, but that's not even the issue. The issue is we need to be there because they need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe we're just watering the plant. I have a friend in Riverview, Florida, and he has an orange grove. And he tells me, you know, that when you plant a tree, you know, it takes a long time before you start seeing the little plant grow. And then you might have to wait about 5 years before you start seeing some fruit. And the first fruit usually is not that good. You have to wait until the next year before you start really reaping what you saw 5 years ago. You see, the problem is that we want results now. But that's not what God, that's not the way he works. The reason we want results now is because we want to say, yes, you know, that guy over there, you know, I got him to church. But God, that's not the way he works. Sometimes he wants us to be there, to live with them, to talk with them, to walk with them, to form a relationship with them, just like Christ formed that relationship with his disciples. And he formed that relationship with you. Maybe it's not just their time. You know how many times I have talked to people and they had totally rejected me and I walked away, and then only to hear maybe 2-3 years later how they now belong to a church. And they're praising the Lord. And what can I say? No, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. I might have planted, I might have watered, I don't even know. But I'm happy that the Lord called him. Because that's what we're here for. To tell people about the Lord. And we need to know this. So that I put no confidence on the flesh, but I put all my confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Word and the power of His Word. He says, all I need to understand is that His Word will not come back empty. That it will bring forth fruit, according to Isaiah 55:11. Even if I don't see it, even if I don't perceive it, even if I don't know about it, I know that the Lord's word will not come back empty. And that is my hope as I go out and talk to people and let them know about Him who called me out of darkness into light, that I may praise Him. Because of these truths, we proclaim the gospel. They go out and proclaim the gospel. We go out and proclaim the gospel in a confident and humble way. Not only to proclaim, but also to serve. Verse 19. Why to serve? Because making disciples is not easy. Not easy at all. The problem with evangelism today is that a lot of times we're just happy for them to grasp certain truths and know certain facts, and we think everything is okay, and we want to go our way because we have other things to do. But you see, making disciples takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes love. The same love that Christ gave you when He called you, He wants you to give it to some others. Making converts is not the same as making disciples. You cannot evangelize apart from serving. You cannot make disciples apart from spending time and efforts in making relationships. You see, we have fallen into the error of expecting miracles apart from cultivating, from seeing things through until the end. Just like that plant, just like the orange grows. My friend, He's in that orange grove every day, watering, pesticides, doing all kinds of things. And so Jesus Christ also calls us to be available for all these people. Even if they don't understand us, even if I don't understand them, I'm to be with them. I was so happy when Pastor Danny told me that you guys had started an ESL program. I was ecstatic. I thank the Lord for that. And for the people who are volunteer, please don't give up. Please don't give up. People need your help. But notice one thing, though. They need your love. They need you to teach them. But not only to teach them how to speak English, because that's secondary. You see, it doesn't matter if they learn how to speak English, but they don't know Christ. This is what we're here for. And all other things are secondary. Teach them the things of Christ. All that you know to observe, to obey, that Christ commanded you to do, commanded the disciples. That's what he says in verse 20, teaching them all the things and to obey all my commandments, that they might realize their great need of Christ and show them by you giving your life over to them that how they should give their life over to Christ, just like Christ gave his life for you and for them. You see, this is the plan of God for all humanity, especially for the church, for us. That we, like Jesus, and later like the disciples, go into all the nations. And when I say all the nations, I mean everyone who is around you. No matter whether they're tall, dark, and handsome, or short. Whether they speak English or not, we are to show them the love of Christ. We are to talk to them about Christ. We are to tell them about a kingdom that someday will be established here, and where all nations will come to the throne of God, just like we read in Revelation. In Revelation 7, where it says, after these I looked, and therefore there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." See, that's where I want to be someday. That's where I know you guys want to be someday, but we need to start this here. This is what Christ wants us to do, to for us to come as one nation, one human race, and to praise Him and to give Him glory for all that He has done for all of us. Lastly, in verse 20, we see that God does not tell us to do anything that He Himself has not done already. Remember, I was telling you how Jesus left the throne in heaven and came down here, and He didn't come to a big church. He didn't come to a nice hotel. He came as a servant, and He came to die on the cross because of you and me, because of our sins. He gave Himself up that we might have life. So God is not asking us to do anything that He Himself has not done. Not only that, but He also tells us at the end of this passage that as you go forth, He's not going to let you go by yourself. You see, this is the God that we proclaim. This is the God that calls us from darkness to light. This is the God who, as I go forth, He promises to, He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me that I am His own. This is the one that I want to tell people about. That He will never leave me nor forsake me. Wherever I go, whoever I'm with, He's always going to be with me. And this is the hope that I want to bring to other people. To let them know, as a beggar, who gave me bread? That I might bless Him. That I might exalt Him. That I might let Him know. That I might let everybody know that Jesus Christ is Lord. To for the glory of the Father. This is the God that we proclaim. The one who is reconciling all things to Himself. And He allows us to be part of that reconciliation. To all races. To all men. To all households. In all countries. But especially in your community. Maybe that's why Christ Central was put in this place. That ministry back then was left there, and now you're here in a new place. That you might seek the people here, whoever they are. That you might show them the love that Christ has shown you. Even if they're unworthy, because I know that I'm not worthy. And if we know these things, we will gladly go knowing that He goes with us. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your kindness, for your mercy, for you allowing us to be here, Lord, that we might hear your word, Lord, that we might hear that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, that wherever you send us, that you will go with us, Lord, that we might go confidently but yet humbly, Lord, to serve people, to let them know about Jesus Christ and him crucified, but also sitting at the right hand of the Father, victoriously interceding for all of those who put their trust in him. Thank you so much, Lord. I ask you to please bless the people here, to be with them this week as they go forth, and that they might remember these words, Lord. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.